As an artist, I get a lot of the same questions.
How long have you been drawing? What materials do you use?
A lot of new creators spend so much time wanting to learn the technical, but I always wondered, what about the mental? Art block, imposter syndrome, pencil paralysis. Why are these the things that tend to fall on the back burner? Well, I'm Ashley Cassaday, a digital artist and illustrator that spends way too much time in her own head asking about these things. So I figured I would invite everyone along to keep me company as we chat about these topics that aren't touched on enough in the art community. Because let's be real, us artists have some of the quirkiest personalities, in the best way. So I invite you to grab a cup of coffee and your sketchbook and sit back and relax as we hash it all out together. This is The Anxious Artist. Hi guys, and welcome to the next episode of the Anxious Artist podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Cassaday, and thank you guys for joining me today. Today, I have a special guest. I have my good friend, Jonathan Miller. Jonathan, do you want to tell everybody a little bit about yourself and also where they can find you and your work online?
I'm an artist out of the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You can find my art mostly on Instagram. It's where I update the most. And I'm at jmylarart on Instagram. That's J-M-Y-L-A-R-A-R-T. And it has links to my portfolio on my Instagram profile as well.
Yeah, and we'll make sure to add those in the show notes so that way after people can find you. So it's kind of funny that because I don't think, like, you and I have been friends, art friends for what? I guess it's like, what, 2 years now?
A couple years.
Give or take? Yeah. Because we first, I was thinking about that the other day because we met at Fan Expo, right? And then We met again at Akon like a month or so later. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds right. I think it was about that.
So, like, me and Jonathan, like, you know, today on this episode, I brought Jonathan here because not only is he one of my good art buds, like, we've actually, you know, we travel to conventions a lot together and we do kind of like some of the same shows and everything. But today we're going to talk about a topic that I'm sure everybody and their mom is very well aware of. We are going to talk about COVID-19 because obviously in the last several months, especially in the art world, we've been pretty rocked, you know, especially me, because it really sucks because this year I was really hoping to go to a lot more shows, especially out of state. And, you know, once COVID hit, that all kind of went out the window. It's just been really, really crazy, like, to say the least. But Jonathan, how have you felt about it so far?
It's taken a lot of opportunities away. I feel you on that. The big thing about this is that just about every show I had lined up, and even the ones that I still kind of had scheduled, I don't think are going to happen. A lot of the shows that are scheduled to happen, they've either postponed or canceled entirely. So a lot of the places that we go to sell our artwork, to interact with fans, that's taken away from us. So it's kind of a difficult obstacle.
Yeah, it's kind of bittersweet, like, actually, like, this upcoming weekend. So today is July 3rd, and, like, I would have been in Denver right now for Denver Pop Culture Con, and, like, it's just kind of surreal, like, whenever a weekend goes by and I look at my calendar and, like, it sends me the reminder, like, oh, like, you have a convention this weekend, and it's just like, oh, no, I don't. And so, like, you know, we're going to get into some other things, too, but yeah, I think for a lot of y'all out there that, especially if you're wanting to be digital art, actually not just digital and traditional, you know, me and Jonathan, like, we go to conventions a lot because not only is it a place for us to sell our art, it's definitely a place to connect with fans and like meet new people and kind of interact with them and see how they respond. But kind of making that transition back to online, we lose that huge aspect. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely.
Jonathan? Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, but yeah, it's just been kind of interesting because, like, it's like, as a whole, like, what's been your experience, like, not just with conventions, but art wise during COVID-19? I can speak my piece in a minute, but I have friends that are kind of all over the spectrum. Like, for example, like, I have some friends that, you know, they're having a hard time even drawing, you know, because they're kind of down in the dumps about it. And then I have friends, you know, that are able to thrive because they're like, oh, I have plenty of time to work on art. And then there's some artist friends that don't even have a choice. You know, they're doing freelance. That's their living. So they're still trying to navigate through this kind of climate we're going through and still have to produce art. Like, kind of, where do you feel like you land on the spectrum of that, Jonathan?
I feel like it's a blessing and a curse. So on the one hand, I've had a lot more time to spend on artwork, and I've been able to make artwork that I'm a little bit more proud of. Like, there's more quality to it. I've taken my time on pieces. I don't feel that rush to get a new piece finished before the next convention.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other side of it, I got these things I feel really great about, this artwork I feel really great about, and I can't meet someone face to face and sell it. I can't make that connection with a fan. I can't tell someone, oh, this is what I did here.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to say that it's been a bad thing. It's been a bad thing, obviously. But at the same time, you got to find a way to turn negative into positive. You got to find a way to still be productive during all this. And I think that that's helped me out a lot, is that I have all this extra time due to just being stuck at home most of the time. And a lot of it I spend on, you know, working on artwork that I've been working on for a while now. I'm not in a mad rush to get something done. So, and then there are days, working from home really drains me. I don't know if
you
experience it, but just working from home in this room where I'm working on artwork usually, by the time I'm done with my work day, I'm not necessarily ready to hop in and start doing artwork in the same room. I've been staring at the computer screen for 8 hours and it's in this room. So there's already like, it's sort of a negative stigma of, oh, I don't want to be in here because it's just more work.
Mm-hmm.
Do you
feel like you've been able to pinpoint like some good and bad habits, like kind of being alone with yourself and your artwork? Because for me, like, I agree with you, like, as far as my experience goes, like, I've definitely, at least at the beginning of this, you know, in regards to COVID-19, like, I kind of have been, you know, because at the beginning of COVID-19, I think a lot of people, even though it was happening and everybody acknowledged it, there was the crowd that, you know, was very, very wary. And then there was a crowd, like, I fell into the crowd where basically, you know, I saw the situation. I'm like, okay, like, I can either sit and be depressed about this, or I can try to make lemons into lemonade. Now, granted, you know, I know that my experience is not the same as everybody's. And luckily, I was able to support myself from home because I work full time. But, you know, I've noticed that working from home, like, kind of put like some attention on some things artistically, especially being someone that prioritizes art business, that it brought attention to me some things that I neglected before. Did you have that experience at all, Jonathan?
Oh yeah, absolutely. That, like I said, putting more time into the artwork because I had more time to put in, it definitely helped me improve, especially in my most recent pieces. I feel like if I look at those and I look at things that I was doing even just right before whenever we started, you know, shelter in place, whenever that started, if you compare just the quality of the work, I feel like is an improvement because, like I said, there's not a big rush anymore. Like, you're able to take your time on your artwork again. And I think that might be a habit that I need to carry over even after all this. I hope if all this clears up one day, is just the habit of taking time with the artwork and making it the best it could be before moving on to another piece, and not making those deadlines for myself that are based on convention dates.
Right. And I mean, now granted, like, I think it's a healthy balance of both, you know, because, like, especially with pieces, like, you want to take the time to refine them and kind of, especially if they're personal works, like, you want to make sure they're the best that you can possibly make them. But also at the same time, you know, I think there's that connection to make to, like, or that's acknowledging when's the best time to let it go too, without having a deadline, but not necessarily for a convention. Cause that was kind of a habit that I definitely had back when I did more fan art. You know, I was like, oh, I had to have this piece done for X convention. And sometimes I still hold myself to that standard, but, you know, it was a struggle to let go for a while. Like, you know, okay, if I don't have this piece done by X convention, like, as long as I have inventory, then it's not as much of a deal, you know, at least in my case. Mm-hmm. But Yeah. Like, I, what about things like, because I know for me, like, the things that happened with me is it brought my attention more so to, you know, focusing more online, like looking at online sales and like, you know, fixing up my website, kind of like focusing more on my Patreon. Have you thought about or like kind of looked into things like that? Like, were those some things that you that were brought to your attention while you were in COVID?
I haven't really looked to that stuff. I've been avoiding Patreon for a long time, and I know that I should probably open myself up to it. It would help with, you know, just the motivation to get more things done and having like an audience that wants new content constantly. Mm-hmm. It's probably beneficial. I just haven't done it. But I have noticed that people have been contacting me online through both my Facebook art site and Instagram. People have just been like, hey, are you still taking work? And these are, a lot of these people are repeat customers. There are some new customers as well. There are people I connected with right before we went into shelter in place at a few conventions that the few conventions we had at the beginning of the year.
Right.
And then those people are staying in touch and they're like, well, what are you doing now? Like, what, do you have anything to sell? So something I looked at and looked into was if you have an artist account on Redbubble, you can upload your designs and upload those designs to Mask Designs.
Yeah. So, I've been seeing a lot more of that.
So what I kind of shifted to, and it's not like a big uptick in business or anything. It's just something that's kind of supplemental and it kind of comes in as it comes in. But I've noticed that I've made sales on masks. Like every other day, I'll get a notification that I've sold some more. So people need masks for, you know, the plague right now. Mm-hmm. And that's something that as an artist, if you have designs and they're digital and you can upload a PNG, that's something where you can have like an instant store set up and you don't even necessarily have to be mailing stuff out because they're making the product for you.
Right. So. Yeah. I thought that was interesting because, you know, just to kind of give context, we just finally got a mask mandate here in Texas. Both me and Jonathan are located in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. And, you know, I've been talking with some friends of mine and we were talking about, you know, I won't get into all of the controversy over the masks. That's not why we're really here. It's more so like the fact that people are wearing masks now. We were talking about how once we get back to some kind of normalcy, it's going to be a new normal. So, and I was telling my friends, like, for example, you know, this is normal in countries like Japan and China, like over in these Asian countries, because in their culture, it's very common out of common courtesy to wear a mask if you're the one who's sick, you know, like if you have a cold or the flu, if you have to go out in public, you wear a mask. And so like I was saying, you know, I would not be surprised if the masks hung around after the fact, you know, with some people just to protect others. And so that could be like, I hate to say like, you know, it's a way to monetize COVID-19, you know, which I mean, that's it sounds dirty to say that, but honestly, you know, if it does become normalized, like creating mask designs is probably something, it's probably could be profitable, you know, in some shape or form, you know, like, but it's good to know that like, you're making lemons into lemonade because like, as I mentioned, like, I feel like right now I'm finally hitting, like mentally I'm hitting a brick wall art wise. And ironically, I won't get into all of it today because this is a whole topic altogether. And Jonathan, I don't know how much you know about it or how much you've been involved with it, but just the month of June alone between COVID and civil rights movements, and currently we've had accusations of sexual harassment in the art industry, all these women coming forward with their stories. There's been a lot of, I'm very much an empath, and that's very much taken an emotional toll on me. And so, I mean, I feel mentally okay, but I'm kind of starting to hit that like, that plateau a little bit because I've been working on my current art series, you know, my Zodiac Fae series, if any of y'all are familiar of it, you know, I've been painting these fantastical female figures inspired by the Zodiac, and I've been on track with one a month. And so now I'm on to my next one, and I'm just sitting here like at my computer, like I just don't have energy. Like, I'm starting to like feel burnout just a little bit. So like, Jonathan, have you experienced that at all? Or like, do you think has there been anything like during quarantine or moments where you're just like, I just don't have the mental capacity to even think about art right now based on the climate we're in?
I've had conversations with coworkers that sound exactly like this. As you might know, I'm working from home for my day job. My day job, I do photo retouch for a fashion company. And one of my coworkers, I was talking with her and I was like, you know, it's weird. I feel like the entire world is crumbling. And here I am photo retouching a dress, a Gucci dress or a Gucci belt. And I feel like, what am I doing? Like, everything around me is crumbling, and here I am working on fashion. It's just a really strange thing. Like, I feel like I'm not doing the right thing sometimes, you know, just by working through it. And I think a lot of people are experiencing that, especially like when it comes to art too. That feeling is not just limited to an 8-hour work day. It carries over. I feel that all the time.
Right.
And I've seen so much going down recently that I should be shocked, but every time something happens, I think, well, is this worse than the last thing that just happened? You know, like, there are things that are really bad going on everywhere, and I'm just not shocked anymore. And it's draining. Right. It is, like you said, it is very draining to see this stuff going down. And when you relate to it and you try to figure out what's going on, it takes a toll on you too. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what the fix is for that. It finally got me to the point where I broke down and I sought help from a doctor. And, I recommend if anyone's feeling that way or they're having that sort of a problem or they're feeling not right, to seek help.
Right. See, and first off, good for you for doing that. Like, I always praise somebody when they are open about going to therapy or whatnot, you know. And honestly, like, for me, even before COVID, I thought about going back to therapy just to, like, not even because anything was wrong. Like, granted, I still deal with anxiety and depression very frequently, even though it's much more on a smaller scale than I used to deal with it. But just to go and see how my brain works, because, you know, and there's two points there, like, with everything going on during COVID. The first one is, like, you know, as artists, like, being an artist is a very emotional thing. It's very mentally taxing, as I've mentioned before, because I can't stress this enough. A lot of people think that art is mostly physical, you know, because, you know, they say, like, oh, you should use your hand, you should draw, like, this is how you draw the human form, this is how you should mix colors to create this color or paint. But honestly, all of that, like, you know, in the context of art, like, I feel like art is like 85% mental and 15% physical, because all of those concepts, like, even physical concepts, are carried in our brain, on top of the fact that when we create art pieces, it's literally like we're taking some kind of emotion within us, whether it's like the love for a fan character or some kind of, you know, story we want to tell in our own personal artwork, and we're putting that on paper. And then on top of that, you know, I feel like I mentioned this to one of my friends today, is like, I want your opinion on this, Jonathan. I feel like, you know, and again, I don't want to get into civil rights and all of these issues like on this episode, but I just noticed that this huge outcry on all of these things happening in the world. You know, my mom kind of made a point, like, which I half agree with her on this. She's like, you know, I think part of it is, you know, some people are bored at home because of quarantine, and thus, like, you know, their reactions are stronger. But I don't know if I entirely agree with that, because I feel like people's emotions are stronger because we don't have the distractions of our normal day-to-day lives that normally defer us from these issues. Because like sexual harassment and civil rights issues, they've been going on for years, and we've known that they've been problems, but I think in this month alone, a lot of these things have had a larger outcry because people have had the time to stop and process everything mentally, especially since, you know, emotions are high because of COVID, and they don't have a lot of people working from home, they don't have the distractions of going to work, doing their job, coming home, like that routine. Like, what, like, what's your opinion on that? That's like, that's my feeling on it, honestly.
Definitely. I think the routine of going to work and coming home every day, like 30 minutes to an hour of a commute that you have to work, being in an office with a bunch of other people that you work with, and then that same commute to get back home at the end of the day. And then by the time you get home, you're already completely drained. And all that time that you could have had to, like you said, process things and think things through was spent with a distraction. You were driving in traffic, or you were talking with people at the office, or you were, you know, whatever events transpire during the day, right? So I think that there's absolutely a lot of time to be more introspective and be caught up in your own thoughts while working from home, or being kind of isolated and thinking about everything.
Right.
I think, I think I agree with you. Like, saying that people are bored, I think that might be an oversimplification. I think that it's people are able to think a lot longer and harder about what's going on. And and when they see what's going on around them, they're not in a mad rush to get to work or to leave work. We're locked where we're at. We're a captive audience. We learn new information and we're processing it, and this is what's happening. So the timing of it is absolutely just terrible, but I think the timing of it is part of why there's proper attention.
Right. Well, and that's a good point that you meant too, is like people, because I know, like, and I mean, we've known each other enough for long enough, Jonathan, that, like, you know, I'm a pretty introspective person, you know, and I've truly become a believer of learning to be alone with your thoughts, at least for a certain amount of time, you know, because I definitely had the most mental growth when I moved out on my own and I didn't have these outside influences. But, you know, it's just so funny, you know, you were saying, like, we have so much more time to process things and be alone with our thoughts, that even I myself, even though I feel like I've become much stronger mentally as a person, in light of a lot of these events in the last couple weeks, like, I've had to be very introspective about what my role as an artist is. And, like, for example, I know I said I wasn't going to get too much into this because this is a whole loaded topic, and I'm not going to say any names here or details, but, you know, as anybody's familiar with the digital art world right now, there's been this huge dumpster fire of, like, all of these, you know, mentors in the art world, you know, particularly some who are men, that have been taking advantage of their roles as artistic mentors in the community and using those roles in a position of power to solicit people for sexual advances and stuff like that. And so seeing all this come to light, you know, and me being at home at my own thoughts, like, and Jonathan, you know this, like, I mean, my background, as I've mentioned, has in the past used to be in, like, gaming art, you know, in concept art. And then for a while, you know, obviously currently I'm a teacher. And while I do enjoy my job, I'm realizing now how much I have been underappreciating the role that I have as a teacher in light of these current events. Because, you know, for a while I was like, you know, oh, well, I want to work in games. I want to, you know, do this and work independently as an artist, blah, 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 blah. Like, I've hopped around a lot. And just seeing these events and being able to process it, like, in regards to sexual harassment in the industry, I'm like, you know, I should be grateful of the fact that I'm in the position of an educator, because right now I've never realized how much power I hold over my students with that and how much responsibility as an art teacher. And it's kind of me being able to sit and reflect with my own thoughts in that aspect, because I have the time to, it's made me look and be like, man, like, I feel like my whole, like, artistic mindset is changing of what I want to achieve as a human being, you know, in the art world. Like, I actually more so, I think I have more appreciation for what I do than I did before, because I realize, like, I have power to be able to educate my students in the respectful way and the right way. So that way they can go into the art world and not be afraid, or have this tool set to be equipped with to, you know how to, like, navigate conventions and workshops and all of this stuff. And granted, again, like, I'm a very introspective person, but I know there are quite a few people who are, especially artists, who are more extroverted, and so being alone with their thoughts, you know, it can be tough. Like, I mean, have you had any struggles with that, kind of like looking back yourself and like kind of like any kind of internal realizations yourself in regards to like your art and your career and all of that stuff during quarantine?
Related to what we're talking about with everything that's going down in the art world, or related to appreciating what you're able to do?
I mean, both. Like anything, like if you feel like anything that's probably like kind of anything that you feel like you've realized being an artist, like that you might have figured out just being able to think that through during quarantine.
I think we underestimate our ability to connect and communicate with people artistically. Putting an image out there is so much more powerful than you realize. Whether you think it's just a simple doodle or a piece of fan art or something that's part of like your series that you're working on right now, we often underestimate the effect that that can have on people. And I think that sometimes it's a good thing. It's a good thing when you can, you know, when you can touch someone with art. But I also see like the other side of it, like you're talking about with the abuse that's going on in the industry. And I think that there are people that take that power that they have and they're abusing it. And I think that I kind of take it for granted sometimes because, you know, I have that ability, you know, and I think that if you're doing something like that and you're taking advantage of it in a wrong way, I think that's, it's got to be called out and it's got to be squashed.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at what I'm doing now and I feel like sometimes I missed a call because I look at what you're doing with teaching art, and I just started recently, well, in the last year, I started kind of mentoring my younger cousin and doing convention art and showing her how to do artwork and the process that you go through to get a piece and, you know, pencils, inks, colors, everything about it. And it's been really fulfilling. It's like one of the best feelings you can have to teach someone who really wants to learn what you're teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there needs to be more people like us who are willing to teach and not abuse that ability. Because
right.
There's so much going on that's, like you said, getting revealed right now in the art world. And not just the art world. There's all sorts of industries where things are getting exposed right now. And it's kind of blowing my mind because there are names that are being thrown out there that I never would have thought that person would be like that. But at the same time, this is not my experience. This is the experience of the person who went through it, you know?
Right.
It's nuts to me.
Yeah. Well, and again, too, it's like I mentioned before, again, like the fact that we're in quarantine, I think, because I mean, granted, the Me Too movement's been going on for the last like couple years just because of everything that went to a head. But again, I think it's that, you know, being at home in quarantine, it's putting a lot more things on people's radar. And I mean, granted, it does. I need to use my words very carefully here. It's like, it's very unfortunate for the people involved for this to happen during this time, you know, and I'm sorry we kind of derailed the conversation a little bit, but, you know, this has been a real thing that, like, art-wise, even though, like, during quarantine, that, like, especially just in the last, like, couple weeks, because it's been hitting me hard because I know some friends and stuff that have been dealing with some crap, and it's just, you know, it just makes me really, it's been, the quarantine has definitely made me reevaluate my position as an artist and what that means for me in the world. Because, you know, again, for a while, like, you know, I wanted to be in games, for a while I wanted to do freelance, and, you know, I kept putting myself on this, you know, on these different paths thinking it was the right thing, when honestly what was really meant for me was here all along, was like, I'm going into my fifth year being a teacher. Now, granted, that doesn't mean that I'll stop going to conventions, because as you said, going into those convention spaces, it's like, if we just pulled out because of that environment, you know, then when we have the capability to stand up for others and help change the community, you know, we don't want to concede in that factor. But I guess it's kind of a segue, though, into kind of my next thought is like, you know, I definitely want to cover this again once things do finally subside with COVID, whenever that is, like, what conventions will even be like once COVID subsides. Like, what do you think is going to happen? Like, I feel like there'll still be some kind of normalcy to them, but it just makes me wonder, especially economically, as an artist, like what they're going to look like, because we have no idea how much more this is going to hit the economy in the way that it is, you know?
I saw some posts from some conventions that are still scheduled to go, and I'd seen a post about what they're doing to kind of mitigate the risk of what's happening. And while I don't agree 100% with having a convention anytime soon, I think that these are like ideas and thoughts that can be carried over into when things do get to some sort of point where we're starting to be normal again. Like they're going to say that face coverings are mandatory. So masks are going to be mandatory. The traffic through the aisles and the alleyways is going to be one way. So they're going to have arrows pointing you one way down an aisle way before you go the other way. And I think that's a really smart idea. I think that could be used even if we have another virus scare like this again. I think having one-way traffic down alleyways in the convention is a good idea, because if you've ever been to a convention, like Ashley and I know, we're at conventions used to be all the time. And traffic in those conventions is crammed sometimes.
Well, not just to mention, like, everybody knows what con crud is. Yeah. Like, now con crud is con corona. Mm-hmm. If you go.
It's the kind of con crud that can kill you.
Yeah, it's insane. And that's just, like, what makes me wonder. Like, even if whenever we do get a vaccine, because, like, I was talking to one of my friends recently, and she's like, I'm not touching conventions until there's a vaccine. And I was like, I think I have one more, and this you too, Jonathan, like we both have Greater Austin Comic Con still listed for October, but I'm still not banking on it. I'm not planning on it, and that's why most of my conventions got rolled over to next year, which I am at this point totally okay with. But it just makes me wonder, like, even if we have a vaccine, you know, and even if things start to subside, like what the convention scene will look like, because, you know, I feel like there'll be a lot of things that are implemented, and just like what will stay and what will go and how that will look for artists, you know, because also too, as artists, you know, I have friends who are artists, you know, they have autoimmune diseases and they're afraid to go. And like, you know, if you think about, especially like, for example, like at my booth, usually I have prints that people can touch, you know, people touching things, like, I mean, granted, there's only so much we can moderate, but it just makes me wonder, like, physically and economically, how that's going to look for artists in the future, you know, with everything going on. So it's really, and again, I believe conventions will come back. I don't know in what caliber they will, but that's why it's kind of really forced me to kind of reevaluate, like, what my practice is with my business currently. Like, you know, I've moved a lot more to online sales, and I've fallen off the last couple weeks, but, you know, I started doing Twitch streaming and stuff like that, just to give me something to make sure I'm consistently working on art. And again, now, unfortunately, right now I'm starting to hit that plateau point, and I'm sure I'll bounce back. But, you know, I think, like, I'm starting to get to that point where, you know, I've been working on art consistently. Like, I think I've been cranking out at least one piece every month since the beginning of the year, because I've gained this newfound momentum, but it's starting to fizzle. And so I'm having a hard time accepting that maybe I need to take a brief break before I get into anything really taxing with another piece, because my pieces take a while, y'all. Like, I spend probably at least like three to five weeks on every piece that I create, depending. So, but like, what about you, Jonathan? Like, have you had any struggle with, like, just being consistent with making art, or like, have you found any tricks that have helped keep you in a nice and stable place, especially since you said you've been going to therapy? Like, if you have any tools that you feel like you've learned that have helped you, like, that would be really interesting to share.
Consistently inconsistent is the key for me, I think. and it sounds like an unorganized mess, because it is. So a lot of inspiration for me is that when it hits, you have to do something right then and there. You have to act on it when it happens. And if you don't, and you try to organize when you're going to be working on the art or when you're going to feel inspired, that's not how my brain works sometimes. So I could schedule 30 minutes every day where I'm supposed to work on stuff, or an hour every day, or 2 hours, or whatever. If I schedule that time, I will get to that point. I will sit down at the desk and I will blank 100% right. every time. But if I see something that inspires me, like say I'm like scrolling through Instagram feed and I see something and I think, oh, that's really cool, and it inspires me to make something, it's got to happen right at that moment. I need to get, you know, to a sketchbook and start sketching, or break out the iPad. And I think sometimes you wake up five in the morning, a little bit too early, right? But you got this really great idea. You got to just go and draw it. And sometimes those 5 a.m. ideas are absolute garbage. Yeah. But sometimes those 5 a.m. ideas turn out to be really cool. And if you don't act on it when it's happening, the 5 a.m. ideas especially, those will vanish. You will forget about those completely.
Right.
So with, you know, tricks to stay consistent, there for me, there are none. It's tricks to act on the inspiration for me. I have to act on it when it happens or I lose it.
Man, I miss the, you say 5 a.m. ideas. Like I honestly, this is going to sound very pathetic, but I miss waking up at 5 a.m. because that's when I would wake up for work. Because again, like I would have to get up at like 5:30. And I remember this because last year when I was doing freelance, I was working for, it was my, one of my, corporate gigs that I was doing, and I had to work 20 hours a week, but like, you know, on top of my full-time job. So I would wake up at 5:30 and, or even earlier, probably 5 a.m. and I would sit and I would work. And God, it felt so nice to just like have that be the first thing I did in the morning. Like I got my, I didn't get dressed yet. I was still in my PJs. So like what I did is like, I turned on the news, I turned on my computer, and I grabbed a cup of coffee and I just like went at it. And I, you know, I keep trying to get back up at that time again, or like early. Like I set my alarm for like 6 o'clock in the morning at least, so I give myself a little bit more sleep in time, because I'm like a grandma, y'all. I like, I go to bed at like, unless I'm gaming with my friends at night, I go to bed at like 9:30 or 10. And so I wake up early, but like because of quarantine, like, I mean, I still get up early, like, because I'm the type of person, if I wake up at like 9, I'm like, my whole day is gone. Like, I'm that person. But, you know, I'm like, I can't get back on the same schedule that I used to. And I guess for everybody's different. But for me, like, I love that 5 a.m. time. Like, do you, like, have you had any struggles with that, with like staying on?
Oh, yeah. Like, especially working from home, I know when my alarm goes off in the morning, that I need to get up and get ready and go and sit down behind the computer. But there have been some mornings where I hit the snooze button a little too much, and I just sort of roll off the bed, crawl down the hall, sit in the chair, turn the computer on, and just, you know, halfway awake to the first 30 minutes of my shift.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, I do struggle with, you know, getting up at a proper time and getting everything started.
Yeah. Yeah. I just like, I guess it's like the lack of, we don't have that, especially since you and I work full time, we don't have that, something that disciplines us in that way. You know, now granted, like that's, we, again, we work, we have full time jobs outside of this, but like, you know, I'm sure freelancers have this down to a freaking science by now. Like their routine has probably not changed at all, but it's just been interesting because it's just so funny because even with quarantine, like at the beginning, I was so fired up and I was actually being really productive with art and like getting a lot of things going. And I'm just like, again, like I said, I'm hitting that stalemate now, and it's just been, I'm trying to find that again. And I don't even think, again, it's about quarantine itself, because I'm still pretty productive with my day. Like, you know, even though like I have time to work on art, like especially being home, I've been making sure to like, you know, go out and walk my dog, or, you know, try to like, you know, take a reprieve and play a video game or two. Like that's what I've been doing the last week, which I feel guilty, which I need to stop telling myself I feel guilty, but like the last couple weeks I've been trying to play some more like games on Steam to kind of like give me that mental break, especially since like with everything going on, you know. So it's just been weird, man. It's been so weird. But yeah,
you gotta find that balance.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I don't know. I'm just so curious to see how things go forward, and like especially with conventions, and I think just in general, what advice would you give to some people right now, like especially artists who, like, you know, let's say they're not doing conventions or not selling online, like they don't have an art business but they just want to create and they can't find the time for that right now, like do you have any suggestions for them? What might be something that could get them back on track?
First and foremost, you got to strike when the iron's hot. When the inspiration hits, even if it's just jotting down an idea to hit back later, you got to act on the inspiration. You got to either, if you have the time to make for it right then and there, jump on it and do something. And if you don't have the time for it, just try to hold on to that thought. Try to hold on to that feeling until you do, because it's really tough. Inspiration does not come in a jar, and you can't buy it. You can't force it a lot of the time. So definitely act when the inspiration hits. As far as finding time goes, it's tough because everyone's got different schedules depending on what your job is right now, depending on where your job is right now. If you're considered essential and you got to work in the public, or if you're working from home, everyone's schedules are just completely different than what it used to be. Mm-hmm. So it's about finding a good window for you. It's got to be a time that you're not trying to de-stress, because you talk about finding that balance and spending some time playing video games. You got to have some of that time in between when you're doing the stressful stuff and when you're actually trying to find your zen in your artwork. So it's definitely, you got to find it yourself. You got to find what the best time is for you. When's your calm, you know? But yeah, definitely about finding what the best time for each individual is.
And what about like those who like are probably not in a good headspace, like those who may, like, you know, they know they have a certain schedule they can get to, but like you said, like maybe they're going through some kind of like mental crisis right now. Maybe they're depressed or have anxiety over COVID-19. Like, what do you like? And again, and something I should disclaim, I said this on my last episode, but I'm going to disclaim this here again. Me and Jonathan are not medical professionals, and so we're not, what we are talking about, we're just giving suggestions, but we're not giving them from, we're not giving out medical advice, and we're not trying to armchair diagnose. But for someone who is not in the right mental headspace, that they're struggling to even create, especially since you, Jonathan, you said you even had to like go to therapy. Like, was there anything that you did like on those kinds of days that helped you kind of get like that fire back under you again to even take the time to even draw for like 10, 15 minutes?
You have to decompress first. You have to, all that stress and all that stuff that's getting to you, you have to find a way to compartmentalize that stuff. And I know it's really tough right now, especially with current events and everything that's going on right now. Compartmentalizing things that are going on right now seems impossible, because everything is so locked into life, mm-hmm. everything that's going on. But if you can find a way to just turn that off and not focus on everything, just to be creative and create, you have to find a way to just let go and unwind and just breathe before
right.
you get to that headspace.
Yeah. Speaking of, it's funny that you say headspace, because that's actually something I've been using since quarantine. There's a meditation app called Headspace, and it's especially one thing I noticed, which was interesting for me, is even though like I've been mentally mostly okay, like I've been having trouble going to sleep at night. And so I'm not sponsored by Headspace, but I'm Headspace, if you catch wind of this, give me a call, but because I love their app. But like I use it at night to meditate, or do nighttime meditation, and it really has helped kind of keep me better on some kind of a sleeping schedule or like be more restful. But there are like apps in there too, like just for meditation. So I found that to help me a lot, especially when I'm kind of not right, like especially when I'm starting to teeter a little bit more on my anxiety and depression. Do you have anything like that that just helps you? Like, it doesn't have to be direct meditation, but do you have something that helps you get into like a meditative state, whether it's like going for a walk or playing video games or something like that?
Whenever I want to unwind, I either, like, I have a love for synthwave music.
Mm-hmm.
I'll listen to a lot of synthwave music. I'll just, you know, relax, listen to a lot of music. Sometimes I'll play video games. It depends on the type of headspace I want to be in or whatever the work is that I want to do whenever I get, you know, calmed down. And it really depends on what's available or what I want to do to unwind. So sometimes, like I said, it's video games. Sometimes it's music. Sometimes it's just sitting on the couch and just kind of zonking out and not doing anything just for a little while. Just whatever, and I know everyone's different, whatever makes you feel comfortable, whatever is able to calm you down, just take that time to really just be for a little bit before you get started on what you want to do. Because if you don't, you're bringing whatever energy you had before, whether it's, you know, high energy or not, you're bringing that energy into what you're doing next.
Right.
So I think you got to find that time to relax and do what you do to relax. For me, it's music most of the time. Mm-hmm. Sometimes video games.
That's how I feel right now, but I feel like, I guess we're just going to have to see, like, I feel like I'm going to have to start getting, ironically, no pun intended, but like, I feel like I'm going to have to start getting creative on some new things. Like, I've really realized how much, like, especially even before quarantine, how much I stay at home, you know, even before we weren't, like, it's made me realize how much, like, I need to get out more. And obviously, I can't do that now because of COVID-19, but it's definitely put a perspective on, like, you know, kind of trying new hobbies and stuff like that. And I think that, I hope that might work. But I think I'm going to have to get crafty and see if, like, try some, I've thought about, like, you know, trying some new things art-wise, like, whether it's, like, 3D modeling or something at home while I have this time, just to kind of keep me creatively active, you know, while also, like, not losing, like, not stepping away too much from art, you know? But mm-hmm. It's just been interesting, but either way, I mean, I will just have to see how everything's going on and what's happening. And I'm sorry if y'all hear grunting in the background. My dog is going nuts. My dog's like staring at me like it's time to play. But anyway, we're coming up on an hour here. Already it went by so quick. Oh my gosh. But Jonathan, do you have any like last like words of advice or anything you want to leave the podcast with before we sign off for this episode?
Before we did, I did want to ask you about something we were talking about earlier.
Mm-hmm.
We were talking about like conventions and things that we expected to change. I didn't get to hear you say like what kind of stuff would you want to see change for conventions, like the way that things are handled health-wise. Like, what's some stuff you would want to see?
You know, that's really interesting because, you know, every convention's different and it's ran by different people. And on top of that, they're in completely different venues, you know, some are in convention centers, some are in hotels. You know, I would hope that at some point we don't all have to wear a mask anymore. Cause you know, I mean, I'm going to state this out there, and just so everybody's educated, I am pro mask, and just like from a very unbiased perspective, it's really important that you wear a mask right now, but I hope that we get to a point where we can safely wear masks again. But I mean, I think honestly, it comes down to the attendees themselves taking responsibility for their own hygiene and making sure, you know, washing your hands, you know, making sure that when at conventions, you might want to be wary about what you touch. But also, too, on the convention's part, you know, hand sanitizing stations might be good. I like the idea of the one-way traffic. And because, for granted, like, that tends to be how some conventions work anyway. Like, there always tends to be some kind of flow to them based on the layout, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think, like, you know, having a little bit more moderation on how the crowds converse, you know, might help a little bit. You know, yeah, I think it's hard to say for the convention itself, because I think most of that stuff is, like, especially like right now, everything is held accountable by the person on how they're doing their part to make sure they stay healthy and help prevent being sick. I think there's only so much the conventions can do when we get back into the circuit, you know, but it's just going to be interesting to see. And I definitely, I definitely like to have you back on, because once we do it, once convention season does start ramping up again, we're confident. I'd love to see kind of like how long from now, what our opinions will be like based on how things transpire with COVID-19. It's going to be interesting. So
yeah, I'd love to dig into that. That's something that, like, I could talk about for, I think, another hour, is the way that things are with conventions, like what they could do and what attendees could do, or what we could do to protect ourselves, I think is could be a really hot topic.
Well, just in summary, like, because again, we only have a couple more minutes, but like, what are some things, like what are your pinpoints, you think? Like, if you, I asked that question to you, like, what do you think conventions should do to make sure that everybody stays safe and healthy?
I think that providing things that people need to be clean, like hand washing stations or hand sanitizer stations, like maybe at the end of aisles, maybe like signage that says, hey, be sure to, you know, be social distancing when you're walking down the aisles or whatever. Just, you know, things that they can do to communicate. But again, like, the convention's only half of it. The attendees, you're right, they do have to take responsibility for the other half and actually use hand sanitizer when they see a station, or stay 6 feet apart from the person in front of them. There's a lot of accountability that goes directly to the end user. So I think that there's a lot that conventions can do as far as providing something that could be considered like a safe environment. But I think ultimately it lands in the hands of the people that are going to be there.
Right. Because something else to just disclose also too, to just everybody listening, is like, again, like I mentioned, is like, I have several friends right now who that aren't in the best headspace all the time, because like they do have autoimmune diseases. They literally are kind of at a stalemate, because, you know, they can't even risk going out to get a coffee or whatnot in their environment because of their condition. So I would hope that conventions start thinking about that a little bit more, because especially like I have artist friends, you know, this is their living, and that's been kind of ripped out from underneath them. And now on top of that, like, they're kind of enclosed, because not only can they not go to conventions or even risk travel, they can't even go out in their environment. So I would just ask everybody, you know, not to be preachy, but, you know, I hope, I would hope that everybody listening, you know, make sure in a respectful way you you advocate for stopping the spread by just, you know, social distancing and wearing your mask and thinking about those people, you know, because not everybody's the same right now. And that's kind of like why we're here to talk about it on The Anxious Artist, because every artist is dealing with different experiences in regards to COVID-19. And, you know, I think it's important for us to accept that if we're not doing okay with it, you know, that's okay, because right now is it's a very trying time. But, you know, I still try to be optimistic. You know, like, there's going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. It's going to end in some shape or form. And that's, I might be over optimistic, but, you know, I'd rather be hopeful, you know, and we'll just have to see how it all transpires, you know? So, but either way, Jonathan, I appreciate you coming on. And one more time, can you tell everybody where they can find you online?
Yeah, it's jmylarart on Instagram. And on Instagram, it has links to my personal portfolio.
Yeah, and again, we'll put those in the show notes. So, Jonathan, thank you for coming on. And again, I'd definitely love to have you back. It was good chatting with you, especially since I hadn't talked to you in months. And I think the last time we talked, we were going to try to get Mexican food. But obviously, that did not come to pass.
I miss all my friends. And thank you so much for having me. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I appreciate it. I definitely, I I'm better with bouncing ideas off people. So I'm glad that you are my first guinea pig with that. So,
yay.
But anyway, guys, thank you guys for tuning in. As always, you can find me at ashleycassaday.com, Ashley Cassaday Art on Instagram, and Ashley_Cassaday on Twitter. And I hope that y'all all stay safe and stay healthy. And we will catch you on the next episode of The Anxious Artist. We'll see y'all later. Bye-bye. Thanks again for tuning in to The Anxious Artist Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to drop a 5-star rating or review on iTunes so we can reach more thought-riddled creatives like you around the world. Also, have a question or topic that you want us to chat about? Shoot it my way to ashleycassadayart@gmail.com, and we may get to it on a future episode. As always, I so appreciate you stopping by, and I'll make sure to catch you guys on the next one. Stay artsy, my friends.